Israel Gutierrez, Justin Tinsley, L. Duncan, Bob Ryan. Bob, you've covered basketball for a few weeks now. You've told me the past November is just November. It's December now. Ooh, the Suns look good. Also, the NHL, they've established a rule, 5 games for a bite. But we'll get to the Brickhead and this from yesterday's show.
And shout out to Alperen Şengün, who tipped the ball to him to allow him to get that. That's a heavy play.
We're not supposed to say that. If he tipped it, then it wouldn't be a rebound. The NBA took Porter's triple-double away. Do you blame George Sedano? Let's go.
Absolutely.
No. Sarah was the one saying it was a pass.
Isola pointed it out, and then Sedano said it on TV, and then the triple-double was taken away. We'll get to that in a second. Rock bottom for the Phoenix Suns in that 19-win season they had 3 years ago was a 17-game losing streak. With last night's win over Golden State, now a 17-game win streak. Not sure we ever give the Sun enough credit. Also, this basketball team. Two best teams last night. Defense was ferocious, Bob. What you saw, what you learned. Phoenix 104, Golden State 96.
First of all, 3 of those guys were part of that 17-game losing streak, which is really interesting. What we learned is that you can win a game when your best player plays 15 minutes if you are so balanced that you have a team in which 9 different guys average 8 points a game. Very rare. Number 2, you win a game if you can play defense. They held a team that had scored 100 points 43 times in a row, under 100, 42 points second half. Number 3, they got a damn good big man at 8. Number 4, they still have the reigning, sagacious guy you want to lead you to home to mama and Chris Paul at the end of the game. And this was a very impressive victory by the Phoenix.
And that was a very impressive opening remarks from Mr. Bob Ryan. L. Duncan, how do you follow that up?
We're all doomed, exactly. What am I supposed to say? I'll say that it was a bit of an aberration. I mean, let's be real, right? Like, you can't discount the fact that Steph Curry statistically had maybe one of, like, the worst statistical games that he's ever had in his career. If you look at some metrics, you can't take away from the Suns something that we've seen during the streak, how clutch they are, right? Clutch time defined as the game within 5 points in the final 5 minutes of a game. They are 9-0, and they're outscoring opponents by 41 points down the stretch. That is important, right? Like, to be able to identify some of those things, to see that Ayton, they had no answer, did the Warriors, for him when their small lineup. But Steph Curry, that's an aberration, guys. It's anomalous. Like, they're going to be able to look at this film, will the Warriors, because they've largely been facing young defenses who have no answer for the trickeration and the off-ball stuff that Curry does, look at the film and see in 2 days from now when they play the Suns again whether they'll be able to apply it. But as for whether the NBA revolves around the Sun, we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Justin Tinsley, well done, Al. What did you learn from a November, now it's December game?
I mean, I learned, I don't know how to top a Joe Montana that Bob just put up on that first answer, but this is a big win for Phoenix, however you want to slice it. And I really like what Chris Paul said after the game. Like, don't get too drunk off one win, but celebrating this win, because you got to figure both of these teams, they're going to be vying for the top spot in the conference all season. So every time they play each other, they're going to be big games. And Phoenix gets up to play everybody. They're 12-1 against plus 500 teams this season. So they're really getting up for everybody. And Steph Curry will not play like this again. They still need Klay and Wiseman back. We get that. And I don't know how serious this hamstring injury is for Devin Booker, but everybody was watching this game last night, and Phoenix, they got everybody's attention. So if nothing else, as Elle said, it makes Friday that much better. And now it's an appetizer for Saturday's events, which we'll get to.
Golden State calling up Klay Thompson and Wiseman, as you just said, Tinsley, from the G League today. Israel Gutierrez, what did you learn last night?
On the East Coast, this game actually did finish in December, so technically it's a December game for me. And look, I'm going to push back a little bit on what Elle had to say about Steph's night, because I don't think this was Steph just missing shots. This was Mikal Bridges locking up, and he's got a history of doing this. He just did it to James Harden recently. And so when you have that, and Chris Paul, who desperately wants to get past the Warriors. He does not want the Warriors to be a team that beats him again in the playoffs, so he knows that his team has to be connected. And you have defensive players like DeAndre Ayton out there. That three-pointer that he blocked on Steph was impressive as well. So this is a team that knows how to defend the Warriors and can defend the Warriors, and this was the best, you know, the best option that it seemed like they had yesterday was Jordan Poole just pulling up from anywhere. And he is a quality player that's going to be an asset down the line, but he's not just enough to beat a team like Phoenix right now. So, yeah, I think when you combine Mikal Bridges and Chris Paul's clutch performance yesterday and DeAndre Ayton being everywhere the entire time, like, if you haven't watched the Suns, this is who they are. There's no surprise that they should be this connected. They made a finals run last year and are basically running it back with players who are still improving.
It's back in.
Yeah, everybody knows they played great defense last night, but it's a reason Monty Williams did not harp on that too much publicly. They got to play him on Friday, and it would not surprise anybody if Stephen Curry came out with one of those magical 40-point games. So it's all a chess move. They played great defense, but you don't want to say it too much publicly.
Mm-hmm. No defense right here. Everybody's getting their scoring on. We're going to move on. College football playoff, Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, Notre Dame. I think you thought that was what it was going in, and that's what it is. But here's committee chair Gary Barta.
Once the championship games wrap up, to your point, our protocol does include the ability for the committee to consider a player or a coach not being available, and should that have an effect on the outcome of a game, that can be considered.
This is intriguing to me, national panel, all right? This is a very subjective thing and how you hear it as it relates to Notre Dame with Brian Kelly leaving. But also this, if you think it could apply to Cincinnati, should Notre Dame woo Luke Fickell before the playoff rankings? Israel, a player or a coach? Do you think the committee can punish a team for a coach leaving?
Yeah, it's frustrating to hear. I do believe the committee can punish for a player leaving, but for a coach, it's difficult to keep that on the same level because, A, we've seen teams perform great with either an interim head coach or even an interim head coach that eventually takes over as head coach. I think of Larry Coker down here in Miami as a guy who took over and ended up winning a championship. And, you know, it's not only is that a possibility, not only can that happen easily for one or two games, but isn't this supposed to be about the players, right? Isn't this supposed to be about their performance and rewarding what they've done? Like, we already give the coaches all of the money. Now we're going to give them all the credit as well and not put his team potentially in this semifinal because, you know, the coach made a personal business decision. And so that's really frustrating to hear him say that out loud because, and I also don't think that it matters the same because if you miss a critical player, whether it be a quarterback or a defensive player, that's going to have way more impact on your team winning and losing than the coach not being there because you can still have the same practices, the same things that he taught, you can still follow them for the next couple of games.
Well, Duncan, you're making a face here. I'm sensing you think otherwise. How do you hear it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, okay, so if you're clutching your pearls, because listen, I think it sucks for the players. I hate it. It's why I thought that the move itself, while a business decision, was kind of crappy thing to do to your kids, right? Like, but at the end of the day, 100% it should come to account. And if you want to eliminate that part, just look at Notre Dame specifically. Maybe they don't make it because they don't have a top 25 win. Or maybe they don't make it because how do you put them in over a Cincinnati team that beat them? Or maybe it's because even with said illustrious coach, every single time they make it to the playoffs, it is a huge, monumental letdown. So you can eliminate them for no Brian Kelly, or frankly, you can eliminate them because of Brian Kelly. Either way, I'm not crying because Notre Dame isn't going to make it into the top.
Justin Tinsley, floor is yours.
All I got from that statement from the committee is that every morning they wake up, they're going to choose violence each and every time, and that's what this college football playoff is, man. Look, it shouldn't all weigh on the coaches, but of course it's going to weigh on the coaches. We know college football. Coaches run college football. It should be the players. Obviously, they're the ones on the field running the plays, but we see how influential Nick Saban is at Alabama. We saw Lincoln Riley leave Oklahoma for USC. College football revolves around the coaches for better and for much worse. So, yeah, I could absolutely see them holding this against Notre Dame or against Cincinnati if, you know, if all hell breaks loose there.
Yeah, let's talk that. It's a reasonably possible example, Bob Ryan. Cincinnati wins this weekend, but then Notre Dame drops a bank vault on Luke Fickell and he makes the announcement on Sunday. Does the committee, before they put their rankings out, drop Cincinnati?
They certainly should not. I think this whole premise is faulty. I think that the winning one game and out of context can always happen. You don't need the coach. I agree with that premise very much. I think it's a much more likely scenario or most plausible scenario that a player would be the reason for you doing it. In other words, for example, suppose Alabama beats Georgia, but in the last 2 minutes, Bryce Young is injured and he cannot play further this season. That is a lot more important than it is whether a coach is showing up or not. And so I just, in either case, it shouldn't, the team shouldn't be penalized. No.
We've seen that before in the NCAA basketball tournament, right? Kenyon Martin breaking his leg terribly in the conference tournament. They went from a 1 seed to a 2 seed. Real quick, Bob, the penultimate rankings, as we like to say, how'd they shake out to you?
They shook out to me in a very logical way. I'm glad Cincinnati's still hanging in. I do think I recommend that they go out and pound Houston. Take no chances. Don't win by a field goal. Win by at least 2 touchdowns because you still have to impress the committee. And that's the only, to me, it's the only reason they are number 4. They finally got around to kicking some butts because they were hanging on for a couple of weeks.
El, can you see a world where Oklahoma State, well, maybe if they win by 30 and Cincinnati only wins by a field goal, there's a jump there?
I don't think so just because of what they've done. I do think it's significant that they have a Group of Five school in that penultimate Final Four behind the Final Four ranking. I think that's significant because it hasn't been that way. But I would also like to say, when I'm looking at these, and I sort of hear, well, what happens if Cincinnati? I'm being specific to Notre Dame sitting around and watching people play in their conference championship, and you cannot, even if Luke Fickell decides to leave Cincinnati, if they win, you can't punish them by not putting them in the playoffs because they played in a championship game and Notre Dame had the benefit of sitting around. I'll also say this, Tony. I need everyone to stop saying it's all on Georgia to keep Alabama out of the playoffs. That is not true at all. Even if Georgia wins, should Michigan find their way out? Should Oklahoma State not win their conference championship? We could absolutely see Alabama sneak into the playoffs. So you need to put all your hopes and dreams on Michigan and miss me with all that on Georgia. I'm just saying.
Justin Tinsley, the Final Four.
You can't be on us,
before the Final Four, as we just established.
I don't know how to follow that. Yeah. But here's who I'm most worried about this weekend. It's Michigan. We've seen this story before. A team struggle against their rival for years, and damn near a decade in terms of Michigan and Ohio State. They get this emotional win, and then you go to the next game, you trip over your shoelaces. I know. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I see it all the time. I know when the story's being put together. So if I'm Michigan, you better treat Iowa like it's the national championship game, because if you don't, you damn sure won't be playing in the national championship.
After disagreeing with L, now I have to agree with L. Yes, it is a collective team effort, and everybody knows the goal. Keep Alabama out. That means Georgia's got to win. That means Michigan's got to win. That means Cincinnati. Just hold strong here. We all know what we want.
All right, and so look, you say.
Because they've been so successful for so long. That's the only
reason. That's what you want. Is that what the committee wants?
Finally got
is that what the, I've been saying it all week long. Absolutely. They could have lost last week, and they could lose this week, and Alabama would still find a way to get the committee to put them in. Coming up, the NBA taking Kevin Porter Jr.'s triple-double away after George Sedano pointed out the rebound wasn't a rebound. It was tipped. It had me thinking about some other triple-doubles that were. It occurred to me younger viewers might not know the legend of Ricky Davis. Look at this.
Oh,
he needed a rebound in the final 5 seconds, went backwards, tried to get it on his own hoop. Oh, that is an iconic move. He didn't get the rebound there in the triple-double. We'll be back. Buy or sell next.
Around the Horn is presented by Captain Morgan. Bring on the spice. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
My favorite story in today's show is my favorite story in yesterday's show.
Shout out to Alperen Şengün, who tipped the ball to him to allow him to get that. That's a heavy play.
We're not supposed to say that. If he tipped it, then it wouldn't be a rebound then.
It happened. The NBA went back and looked at this play and saw Şengün controlled it and tipped it and retroactively took away Kevin Porter Jr.'s rebound and his triple-double. Israel, does the NBA have this right? And do you blame George Sedano?
I do not blame George Sedano. And as somebody who had Kevin Porter Jr. preseason as the most improved player winner, I should be championing him getting these statistics. But this was clearly not his rebound. This was clearly a controlled tip. And that's not the way you want to get your first triple-double. I mean, he wasn't even know. He had to have two other players remind him to go chase it down.
Justin Tinsley?
Yeah, I blame Sedano, but I really blame the NBA. I still haven't forgiven them for taking away LeBron's 50-point MSG triple-double back in 09. And honestly, this is the epitome of teamwork. It's like when I let Woody Page win so he can increase his...
Watch yourself, Justin. Watch. L. Duncan.
Wow. One time at a backyard get-together, our beloved friend and colleague, Michael Smith, represented for my daughter in a dice game because she was 2 years old. And you know what? At the end of the dice game, when she won the entire $65 pot, not a single person there said, well, technically, Mike, she didn't actually roll the dice. It was technically you. You know why? Because not a single person there cared about that $65.
What does this have to do with Kevin Porter Jr.?
The rebound. The NBA did not have to come and take that man's triple-double away. Stop. Technically. Who cares?
Florida.
Let him have it.
Bob Ryan, okay. Where do you come down on this? I mean, you saw the play, the control tip. Is that a rebound for Kevin Porter? Can the NBA take it away?
Sedano must be hanging around with Plaschke too much or something to come up with a for-cocktail reason like that. The fact of the matter is, it was not a rebound. It was a tip. It was anything. It was a team rebound. There isn't such a category. And that absolutely, positively wasn't even close to being a rebound. Too bad, Kevin. Try next time.
Well, I'll say this, Israel. You brought it up. Porter didn't even know. Which, you know, some guys are out there, you know, they're hunting for stats and triple-doubles. And maybe it was nice to know that Porter didn't even know it.
Teamwork.
Del, your story is when you come up and you're making a comp between one thing and the other. I love the invoking of Michael Smith. Of all my favorite panelists, my number one favorite panelist in show history. What a great hairline. We'll move on. NHL taking a bite out of prime. This was something as well. Brendan Lemieux on Brady Tkachuk. You can definitely see Tkachuk react immediately. The NHL in their statement said they could only verify one bite, even though Tkachuk said he was bit multiple times. So they're only punishing the first one bite. And Lemieux suspended 5 games. This is what Tkachuk said after the game. Quote, kids don't even do that anymore. Babies do that. I don't even know what he was thinking. He's just a complete brickhead. He's got nothing up there. Bad guy, bad player. What a joke he is. End quote. In his defense, Lemieux basically said, Tkachuk's teeth ran into his hand. Justin Tinsley, 5 games for one bite? Since they couldn't prove more? Or where are you on this?
Just know another word rhymes with brick, and that's what he wanted to say. I know if you bite me, it's on site. If you bite me during a pandemic, you better pray it was more than 5 games. Hey, what are we talking about here? Biting, it lives in the same cul-de-sac as spitting on somebody.
L. Duncan?
My 11-month-old baby bit my shoulder the other day, and I swear to God, I almost shoved him. So I totally get this.
Watch yourself.
I'm gonna bite my lip and not say more than that. But he's going to have to bite the bullet and take that suspension.
Very nicely done, Bob Ryan.
One game, 5 games, doesn't matter. The honor thing here is that he's a disgrace to the family. His father, Claude, used to get his of a 1,777 penalty minutes the old-fashioned way. Butt ending, aborting, spearing,
are you sure
tripping,
he's never been?
All that
I
stuff.
Mean, biting.
He's a disgrace to the family.
We talked about Marcia, and we talked about this happens in hockey. It's happened before. It's happened in basketball before, Bob. You remember Tree and Danny?
Tree Wallen spit Danny. And, of course, Mike Tyson. But this is a disgrace to the family. I'm sure Claude is very upset about it.
This is great because it is Lemieux and Tkachuk, and some would say, you know, you picked the right guy. Gutierrez, how about you?
It's Luis Suarez, too, right? Of Uruguay.
Yes,
but,
yes.
Look, five games is a lot of games. And I think that's a pretty good number right there. Yeah. And, like, if you're illegal, doing something that is not really within the rules and drawing blood from another player, yeah, I think five games is a reasonable start.
You don't think his teeth ran into his hand? It's always a possibility.
No. It's a good one, but no.
Gutierrez, good stuff today, but no one's stopping L. Duncan and Bob Ryan in showdown. 2 minutes.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Around the Horn is presented by Captain Morgan. Bring on the spice. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Brooklyn last night. Knicks fans were making more noise than Nets fans. But did the Nets get the home cooking? Julius Randle said, and Tom Thibodeau miffed that Randle only had two free throws last night. Randle said, because he's stronger, they missed calls. He also did get one call. He got a technical in the last minute of a game that wound up being a two-point win for Brooklyn. L, does Randle have beef?
Listen, should someone as aggressive as him shoot the ball more than two times from the charity stripe? Probably. But the NBA has just become an echo chamber of dudes complaining about how little they aren't getting calls. And so it's falling on deaf ears. At the end of the day, no one wants to hear it and no one cares.
Mm-hmm. Bob Ryan?
There are big guys in the past who have had this particular kind of legitimate complaint, Shaq being Exhibit A. Hey, guess what, Julius Randle? You're not that guy. You're not that good. You haven't earned that right. Just zip it. Go play. See me next year.
It's amazing how you guys complain about people complaining, and you think your complaint has more value than their complaint. Both get a deduction. We'll move on. Duke, they just beat Gonzaga. They were number one for, what, 2 minutes? Ohio State earlier this season needed a last-second shot to beat Akron, but this is college basketball. Buckeyes storming Duke and then storming Duke. 14-1 run to end it. Number one takeaway, Bob?
Listen, this is a team that's coming off a loss. They beat the number one team, and it's Duke. Duke is the Notre Dame of basketball. They're the team that is the most polarizing team in America. So, of course, the people were excited. And it's Coach K's last year? Absolutely.
My number one take is that it's so early in the season, the only thing anybody knows about Duke is that Paolo Banchero loses 7 pounds of sweat every game and has to take a pill. That's how early we are in the season. It doesn't matter. Storm if you want, because that's your season.
You know what? Ohio State, having the chance to storm after being stormed upon this weekend on the football field, I think that's the headline. L. Duncan, dominant performance today. Take the 30 seconds.
Thank you. Well, it was announced today that in honor to commemorate the new Home Alone that is going to be coming out, the reboot, they're going to open up the original Home Alone house for Airbnb. Like, for one night, people will be able to stay there. And it just reminds me of how much perspectives change as you get older. Because much like you, when I was young, I used to watch Home Alone and be filled with Christmas cheer. And now I watch it and I'm filled with judgment. Because I'm sorry, I'm not one to mom shame, but shame on you, Kate McAllister. You're a terrible mother. In fact, here's an idea for the sequel. You go to parenting classes and DFAX gets involved. You did it twice, woman. Twice!